Case number 23-3226. United States of America v. Anthony Glover, appellant. Ms. Hall for the appellant, Mr. Cahill for the appellate.
Good morning, Ms. Bhatti.
Good morning.
Proceed when ready.
May it please the court, Isra Bhatti on behalf of Anthony Glover. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Glover asked this court to reverse the district court's denial of his motion to suppress because Ms. Brewer never provided unequivocal, specific, and voluntary consent to allow law enforcement to enter and search her home, and the district court misapplied existing law in concluding otherwise.
Do you consider specifically the consent that you're discussing to be separated out by consent to enter and then consent to search?
Your Honor, there was a decision made by, yes, there were two points at which the government alleges that there was consent, or that that we also contend that there was consent, purported consent. That was at entry, and that was also later to search the home.
But you're alleging a violation as to both. You don't
as to both, correct.
One. Okay.
Yes. And specifically, the district court misconstrued in terms of the legal errors in this case. Foremost among them, the district court misconstrued the consent standard articulated in Bumper and reiterated in Schneckloth, that when a law enforcement officer announces that he has a warrant to search an occupant's home, the occupant has, in effect, no right to resist the search. That's a direct quote from the case. And, quote, there cannot be consent. And that is exactly what happened here.
But does it cut against your argument if we read the district judge to have found that he did not assert that he had a warrant to search the home, but that he had arrest warrants?
No. First of all, the district court made two errors there. One is that the district court did not properly read Bumper when it said that there was a critical fact there that distinguished that case, and specifically that police sought consent in Bumper by alluding to a warrant that did not exist. And that is simply not true. The court in Bumper articulated very specifically in footnote, I believe, 15, that there was, in fact, a warrant.
But doesn't that not matter?
And so that's,
isn't the point not whether there was a warrant or not, but that there was a claim of lawful authority in Bumper?
Exactly. But I'm just clarifying that because the district court used that, quote, critical fact to bring this case outside of the purview of Bumper. But secondly, as Your Honor mentioned, it thought that the fact that Officer Creamer was discussing arrest warrants somehow also distinguished this case from Bumper. And that is also not true.
There wasn't a specific naming distinction, arrest versus search warrant.
No, I mean, Officer Creamer said, I got warrants. That's all he said.
Right.
But the district court said that somehow because Ms. Brewer stated, my brothers are not here, she understood Officer Creamer's statement as meaning arrest warrants, and somehow that was different. But that does not matter. Even assuming that somehow she did understand the warrants to mean an arrest warrant, which is what the district court said, that it wouldn't have mattered. Bumper is about an assertion of lawful authority. And what Officer Creamer did by saying, I got warrants and PG County has your brothers as living here, is he asserted that he had the lawful right to enter her home, regardless of whether or not she had consent. And that is why
I would like to think about is this whole notion of consent. First, I want to back you up into you said you're challenging consent to enter, and you're also challenging consent to essentially search, which is going down the hallway into the apartment. There seems to be a distinction in case law about consent to enter versus search. You didn't challenge consent to enter specifically.
We did challenge both. We challenged both consent to enter as well as consent to search.
But did you do it in a generic way? Of consent versus distinguishing those two actions?
I think, Your Honor, we did distinguish those two actions. I mean, Joint Appendix 117 to 118, defense counsel noted that Creamer needed her to allow him into the apartment. And also on Joint Appendix 139, she articulated that there are two points. It's the entrance and it's also the search for the individual. And later the district court agreed that there were, quote, two things being
contended. And where do you think the record reflects what she's consenting to? Because that's where I want to spend a little time with you, because to me, consent would then be thinking about a meeting of the minds. Like, do I just open up and say, come on in, and then you're in, do whatever you want.
Right.
Or is there a consent to something? Because he says, number one, may I come in?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's followed by we
Seven.
Or they. May I go down the hall? But then it's followed by we or they.
Well, Your Honor, we contend that there was no consent at any point.
Okay.
And Your Honor is absolutely correct.
But she doesn't come in. So I just want to know, where would you say, well, if at all, she's allowing them to do anything? What is she agreeing to?
Your Honor, she never says come in. And that's a key point. She never says
come in. She does at some point wave them in down the
hall. She doesn't even wave them down. Let me go through.
They got in her apartment how?
Yes, and Your Honor is kind of hitting the nail on the head. There's a number of factors here, and they all point in one direction. Now, even if I just want to just make sure that I hit that bumper point before moving off of it. I think bumper settles this case. Once Officer Creamer said that PG County had the brothers living there, he asserted that he, had the lawful authority to be there. And that is this case. So we can end with bumper. But if we're putting aside bumper for a second and we're looking at her actions and the totality of the circumstances, we start, as the district court did not do, with the moment those officers arrived and started knocking at her door. The district court made no findings whatsoever before the Officer Creamer's ask and Ms. Brewer's, slight opening of the door, that quiet looking down and opening of the door. The district court did not even talk about the time of day, the number of officers, the length of time that they were knocking, touched on none of that. But if we look at that, at 6:30 in the morning, we have seven armed officers that start rapping at the door for 2 minutes, right? And then Ms. Brewer opens the door immediately. We have open eyes. You saw it on the body-worn camera footage. There's no dispute about this. Her roused from sleep. They're all armed. Some of them have gas masks on, and she looks quite surprised. And then she starts saying one word responses like, and things like that. And then we have, of course, the pleasantry. Good morning, Ms. Brewer, which the district court focused on. And then we have the badgering. And the badgering is particularly key. We have Officer Creamer stating, I need to talk to you. It's important. And he states that three times. And he states, I need to talk to you. It's about your brothers. It's important. And she states, why? He says, it's about Don. She states, what? And DeAndre, she states, why? He says, I need to talk to you about them. She says something unclear. And he again says, it's important. I need to talk to you. He refuses.
The standard of review on the reviewing the totality of the circumstances is clear error. So maybe what are the main points where you would say there was a clear error?
I would say
because I understand you're making arguments that there were legal errors, maybe under bumper. But if we don't find that there's a legal error, how do you overcome the clear error standard?
Yes. And that and just to kind of answer both of the questions that Judge Childs also asked, this passage right here where he is refusing to answer her repeated requests for more information and hiding his purpose and not revealing why they're actually there when she's asking him three times. That badgering is something that district court did not look to. It's unreasonable and clear error for the district court to not consider that badgering. That's one of those.
You're separating out the entry into the apartment. All this evidence and discussion you're talking about is about the entry into the apartment?
It's about the entry, but it's also about again, the entire consent question is a totality of the circumstances question. So even if we're looking just at, did she consent within the apartment, those preceding interactions that happened at the door are part of the totality of the circumstances. That's what Schneckloth said. And that's what a number of courts have held. Griffin is a great example, for example, that you have to look at all of the circumstances from the get-go that create an atmosphere of coercion that back her, in this case, that literally and figuratively and physically backed her into and against a wall and essentially intimidated her into acquiescence. What she did was acquiescence. It was not consent. And I just want to get back to that badgering. Griffin, which is a case that we cite in our brief, cited Johnson, which is a Supreme Court case just prior to Bumper. And it said that when the deception and trickery on the part of officers who do not disclose the information that they have and wait until they enter the apartment to reveal their true purpose is what Johnson dealt with. And that right there is trickery and part of that whole totality of the circumstances.
I mean, I watched the body cam worn footage, and I think to describe what Officer Kramer did as trickery or badgering is, I think that's a pretty tough thing to say, having watched the video. I'm not sure about where the badgering was. I mean, there was polite interchange. I mean, I understand you have a question about consent, but to describe what the officer did here as badgering seems like quite an overstatement.
Well, Your Honor, he stated, I need to talk to you. It's important. And she stated, why? And he refused to answer her question. He again stated, I need to talk to you. It's important. And she stated, why or what? He again said, I need to talk to you. That repeated refusal to answer her question, if we don't call it badgering, we could call it insistence or persistence. But the courts have called it badgering. The courts have called it coercion. The courts have called it persistence. And again, I'm just going to point to Griffin, where the court specifically looked at that fact and said that the officers in Griffin disclosed all of the information at the door. They said, we want to talk to you because of this. We want to talk to you because we need to come into your house and look for X, Y, and Z. That did not happen here. They simply essentially flashed a badge. That's what happened in Johnson. And Johnson, that Supreme Court case, said entry into the defendant's living quarters, which was the beginning of a search, was demanded under color of authority. It was granted in submission rather than any understanding of the waiver of the intentional waiver of a constitutional right. It was simply granted because the officer said, we are police officers and we need to come in and talk to you. So that was exactly Johnson.
Is that your answer to my question with respect to how do they get in?
Yes. Yes.
Because they're flashing alleged warrants that she never sees, right?
Well, how they got in was they said, we're police officers. Right. There's seven of us. We're blocking your door. We need to talk to you. It's about your brothers. We're refusing to answer any of your questions. You need to let us in. It's important.
And they say they have warrants.
And then they say, can we come in? She opens the door slightly. And that's what brings this case into parallel with Lindsay, for example, where you have that silent opening of the door in acquiescence. And again, Johnson says the exact same thing. In Johnson, the law enforcement officers testified, I want to talk to you a little bit, and said she stepped back acquiescently and admitted us. Exactly what happened here. She stepped back acquiescently after they said, I want to talk to you, and admitted us. And that is not consent. That is acquiescence to a show of lawful authority based on the totality of the circumstances at entry. Then after that, so we can test that that is not We say that that's acquiescence. That's not consent at entry for all of the reasons that I just stated. Then once they've entered.
Your point under acquiescence would be who wouldn't allow the officers to come forward?
Well,
you've got warrant. You've got seven of them there around you.
Absolutely. I mean, yes. And it's a subjective standard. And she looking at her demeanor. I mean, we have the body cam footage, as the district court said. We don't have to even look at the words of the officers. We have the video in front of us. Her face drops when he says, when the officer says, it's about your brothers. I mean, she probably thinks they're dead. She says, it's important. I need to talk to you. Why? It's important. I need to talk to you. What? It's important. I need to talk to you. Why? He refuses to answer her. What is she, at that point, it's either close the door, don't hear what happens to your brothers that seven officers woke you up to talk about, or let them in. And she quietly, without any facial expression, mute, looking at the floor, opens the door. It's absolutely clear error to think that that is consent, is voluntary and unequivocal. And let me just make that point too. Unequivocal and specific consent. Is that voluntary and unequivocal, which the district court also did not make a finding.
But it also wasn't preserved. There's a real question about the objection on entry as opposed to your objection on Mr. Glover's behalf to the walking through the
apartment. I mean,
as I read the supplemental briefing, it focuses specifically on, in the district court, it focuses specifically on the walking through the apartment, not on the entry.
Well, Judge, I would disagree with that. The two passages that we pointed out were just two examples. You know, when she said defense counsel on, again, JA 117, JA 139 specifically says two points. There are two points. It's the entrance and it's also the search. And then the district court also talked about two things. I mean, obviously, the district court was focused on the warrants and from the get-go. But the fact that the district court, you know, guided the questioning to a certain point and wanted to focus on the whales and the outstanding warrants does not mean that we intentionally waived the argument as to entry. I mean, it's clearly something we raised from the get-go. And then we cited cases in our supplemental briefing that talk about entry specifically. And we talk about that in our brief. So to think that we intentionally waived it is just not reflected in the record. And then furthermore, you know, the district court, obviously, I think what happened in that hearing is that the district court was very much concerned with the question of, you know, if she opened the door, does that mean she also consented later to the search through the home? And she kept going back to that question because she was very much just trying to figure out, well, if you let him in, does that mean they get to search?
Another thing is I want to, you know, focus on your last word, search, because I want to know how we're defining search. It appears that in the order, I believe, JA 175, that he was explicit that he just wanted to check each room to ensure that the wanted individuals were not present and that he had no intention of going through drawers or opening containers. So what are you thinking about as search? Because apparently he says, I just want to look for them to see if they're not here. And when you go down in an apartment, I mean, it's very clear the rooms, you look, they're not there. But then, of course, in plain view, they find the gun. So I'm trying to focus on what are we meaning by search anyway?
Well, he wants, what he says is he wants.
Was it a search or was it a, I want to look?
Well, what he says is what I need to do is I need to visually see that they're not here, check them off, I'm gone. So he's saying I need to look, you know, and to me, when he says that, he says, I'm not leaving until you let me look and make sure that your brothers are not here, even though you've told me.
But I'm trying to gather
yes.
The word look. What does that mean?
To search? Yes. I mean,
look,
to search.
Look. Does that
to
mean
look.
Just look? And if they're there
yes.
or not, then I'm out of here? Or
that's,
does that mean look into the contents and everything of the
apartment? Well, he says, you know, and we don't. He says without touching any of your stuff, without disrupting your house, you know, he's saying, I want to look at your
So it's a visual.
Brothers.
It's just a visual look.
It's a visual look for the brothers, for those brothers.
Specifically just that.
Specifically just that. Yeah. That's what we don't.
Just to kind of clarify on this exchange, if the person doesn't live in the house, then an arrest warrant doesn't authorize police, even if they have reasonable suspicion that the person named in the warrant might be there, that an arrest warrant doesn't authorize the kind of entry that occurred in this case.
I mean, that's correct, unless there's a reason to believe that those individuals are in that apartment. Right. If like we're at a third party's, we're at Miss Brewer's apartment, an arrest warrant wouldn't give him. I mean, that's why the government's relying on consent here. I mean, if they had a valid arrest warrant for this property, they wouldn't need consent in the first place. But he needs consent. And he testified that everyone agrees he needs consent. That's why he's trying to get consent out of Miss Brewer. But the way that he describes, the way that he states, PG County has your brothers as living here. That is key. And I've got warrants. I need to look. Once PG County has your brothers as living here, that's a valid arrest warrant. I mean, that clearly conveys that I have the lawful authority to be here and look for your brothers. PG County has your brothers as living here. I got warrants, shuffling papers. That's an arrest warrant to say I have authority. That is lawful authority to be there.
So what's your request? Because you're arguing no voluntary consent to enter, which, you know, we'll discuss whether or not that was preserved. No voluntary consent to go down the hall and search.
Yes.
And then also this distinction between voluntariness of consent versus mere acquiescence, which that category seems more like a legal error that if you're going that route, that the district court did not make those distinctions.
Yes. I mean, we're contesting the consent at both places, as you know. We're contesting the legal conclusions that the specific actions of Officer Creamer and Ms. Brewer were sufficient to constitute unequivocal, specific, and voluntary consent under Lindsay. And that conclusion was not something that the district court made. She never said this is unequivocal and specific, right? So that again, legal error, number three right there. The district court did not properly apply Bumper. We talked about that critical fact piece of it and how the district court somehow thought, you know, there's no valid warrant in Bumper. So, you know, which is wrong, which is just flat wrong. That's not the case in Bumper. And then it also thought that the understanding of arrest warrants somehow distinguished, you know, this case, which is again wrong because the way that Officer Creamer stated PG County has your brother's living here and I got warrants. You know, he absolutely conveyed that I have the lawful authority to be here. And Miss Brewer, now, that means that I have the lawful authority to be here. And actually, I want to just highlight, because I think it's a useful something to point out is Justice Harlan's concurrence on page 552 of Bumper. He states that with respect to Miss Leith and in Bumper, nothing Miss Leith said in response to the announcement of the warrant can be taken to mean that she considered the officers welcome in her home with or without a warrant. What she would have done had the sheriff not said he had a warrant is on this record a hypothetical question about an imaginary situation that Miss Leith never faced. Same thing here. It's pointless to think about, well, what if the warrant statement didn't exist? Or what if this wasn't an arrest warrant? Or what if it was actually, you know, the arrest warrant wasn't actually valid? Or we thought that, it didn't mean it was, you know, it doesn't matter. She heard the word warrants. He said, I got warrants. We don't need to go meandering into an imaginary situation. Once he said that, then that's it. Okay. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Morning, Mr. Cahill.
Morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, Timothy Cahill for the United States. The district court in this case carefully reviewed and considered the evidence, made the permissible finding that Ms. Brewer understood Officer Creamer's words to her to be a request to look through her apartment, and that she voluntarily consented to that request.
Look through her apartment or look for somebody?
Well, look through her apartment to look for her brothers, to be more specific, Your Honor.
But yes. When you say through, it still seems that you're focusing finding people, not a true search going, you know, in drawers or under the bed or doing anything.
I think that's exactly right, Your Honor, with respect to the scope of what the officers were asking to do. But critically is that the trial court, having examined and reviewed all of this evidence, made as a factual finding that Ms. Brewer's understanding is that that was a request. It was a request for consent. And that wasn't a clearly erroneous finding. And therefore, it should be affirmed.
Okay, and then I want to go back to what is she consenting to? Because the Creamer says, may I come in? But then he's followed in by the officers.
So
may I go down the hall? But then he's followed by the officers. I'm just trying to think about when we have these cases, we're giving guidance to lay persons about what's respectable, what's allowed, what the police can and cannot do. And so I want to know what you perceive her to be consenting to.
So I'll focus first, Your Honor, on what happens inside the apartment. Our position that I'm happy to address if the court has questions about it is that anything at the entry was not properly preserved. But certainly the issues inside the apartment, we believe, were preserved. And that's what we believe the court should be addressing here. Inside the apartment, at the time that he's asking, you're correct, Your Honor, he says the word I. At that point, however, there are all the other officers standing there in his presence. There's no argument made to the district court that she understood that she would have understood the scope of the consent only to apply to the officer asking the questions, not the other officers there. So I think that readily explains why the district court didn't make an express finding on it. But so here on review, the question is whether any reasonable view of the record would support the district court's denial of the claim. And certainly it would not have been clear error for the district court to have found implicitly that the request applied to all of the officers, or at least more than one of the officers who had already entered the apartment. Otherwise, why would she have thought they were there?
Well, we understand why they were there, because they're flashing arrest warrants that she never sees, right?
Well, so the arrest warrants aren't presented to her. I did want to actually clarify as a matter of sequence that there's no reference to a warrants until they're inside the apartment, just as a factual matter. I think there was some confusion about that.
We've drawn a line of demarcation on consent to entry and consent to go down the hall.
And so focusing on what happens, again, inside the apartment and the reference to arrest warrants, I do want to expressly address that point, because I think it's important to say that we don't believe that that bumper resolves this case. Schneckloth makes clear that the issue of voluntary consent is a totality of the circumstances test. And there's nothing in bumper that's to the contrary there. Bumper doesn't say that once the word warrant is spoken in any way, shape, or form that the case is just over. In fact, bumper goes through all of the other reasons why that scenario was what it calls instinct with coercion, given that the individual was alone, it was an elderly woman, she was at the end of a mile-long road, it was a Black woman being confronted by four white police officers in the 1960s. All of those factors would not have been important to the court's decision if the word warrant alone resolved the case.
But when you refer to the 1960s, I'm not seeing with what's going on around the world so different. So
I understand Your Honor's point that those issues haven't gone away. But I think my larger point is that the court was looking at a totality of the circumstances.
So, Mr. Cahill, you said that the district court found that Ms. Brewer's understanding was that Officer Creamer was making a request for consent. What would you point to as the strongest such finding, where she made that finding, that he was not asking, can I go down the hall and look for them as I've said I need to, but that you characterize it that she understood that he was asking for her.
So I would point specifically on JA-173 and JA-174. On JA-173, in the context of discussing the interactions inside the apartment, I'm looking at lines, starting on line 17, that the trial court said, it is abundantly clear from the conversation on the video that he was asking and not directing or ordering her. I think that's about as clear of a factual finding as we can get. And then on JA 174, the court follows up again and says that tellingly, Ms. Brewer appeared to understand it as a question and then goes through the reasons why and actually follows up on JA 175.
So what about that is not equally consistent with acquiescence to a claim of authority?
Well, so I'm happy to answer that, Your Honor, but as a premise, I want to emphasize that the question here isn't whether it's equally consistent. If there's two permissible views of the evidence here, the trial court's factual finding by definition would not be clear error. The question is whether the finding of voluntariness was clear error.
But this relates to whether the district court made a legal error with respect to Brewer, so I'm getting there. But all of that is could be acquiescence to a claim of authority. Now, the district judge set aside Brewer, and the question is, Bumper. Did she correctly do so? She distinguished Bumper as a case in which, quote, the police sought consent by alluding to a warrant that did not exist, right? And she says that's not this case, right? And she says the critical fact in Bumper was that the police were alluding to a warrant that did not exist, and that fact is not present here. And then she emphasizes a couple of times that he's candidly describing the warrant and what he's saying. She says is that I have search warrants, but that's wrong, right? In Bumper, the existence or not of a warrant was not critical at all. The holding turned on the fact that there was a claim of lawful authority, right? And then talks about the effect that such a claim, putting aside whether it's a warrant or not, which might be a separate, you know, malfeasance on the officer's part, but just in terms of the subjective understanding of the person whose home it is, Bumper's holding doesn't depend on the actual status, but the district judge seemed to think that it did. And so she set Bumper aside once she's thought that, and she's no longer looking at the question of acquiescence to a claim of authority. She's only looking at overcoming someone's will.
So, Your Honor, I would disagree with that characterization of what the district court does in this respect. So first of all, I would say with respect to Bumper, I don't think the district court was wrong to point out that distinction. There are cases that look to whether or not there was some level of deceit involved. I do agree with Your Honor that was not the be-all end-all of Bumper. But the district, where I disagree with Your Honor's characterization of what the district court judge did is that the district court did not then drop the question of acquiescence versus consent. What it was pointing to on JA 175 again, the district court actually frames its finding in those terms. It says that, you know, it's based on how Ms. Brewer reacted to what Officer Creamer said, it did not appear in context to be an assertion of authority that he lacked, but rather a plea. Could I just look? The district court is making a factual finding there that she did not interpret this as an assertion of authority that I can look regardless of whether you agree, but as a factual matter that she understood it as a question.
Well, but that exactly actually cuts the other way, no? Or arguably it does, and I'd be interested in your response. It did not appear in context to be an assertion of authority he lacked, but it actually is an assertion of authority that he lacked. That's why, as Ms. Bhatti said, that's why we're here on consent, not on the execution of a search warrant, right? He didn't have authority to go walk through and look for the people named in the warrants, right? He did. The warrant didn't give him that. You acknowledge that, right?
That we're certainly not relying on the warrant for justification exactly, to look through the apartment.
You can't, right?
The record would not support that, Your Honor.
Right. And so when the district judge says it did not appear in context to be an assertion of authority that he lacked, she's acknowledging that someone in Ms. Brewer's position would think he's made a claim of lawful authority. And then she's like, she's not being confrontational. She's not being, you know, struggling against the authority that she thinks he's asserted. But, you know, she clearly thinks that he's asserted the authority to walk through. I can't go back to PG County unless you let me do this.
And so here's where I would push back, Your Honor, is that the district court repeatedly, and on both on JA 173 and 174, says that based on the district court's factual findings and the entirety of the circumstances, the entirety of the encounter to that point, and specifically also looking at the nature of Ms. Brewer's reactions, that the district court made a factual finding that she was understanding that to be a question. That's inconsistent with her understanding it to be an assertion of authority that she had to obey. And the district court said she understood it as a question. And for voluntariness, that's the critical question.
Not to be, I mean, if somebody's asserted lawful authority and then they say, so can I perform on that authority? The fact that someone is going to say yes, rather than, you know, I'm going to call my, you know, friend with a gun to come and chase you out of here. Like the fact that there's sort of acquiescence to lawful authority doesn't mean that this isn't a bumper case.
Respectfully,
he's polite, you know, commendably so.
If the district court had found, Your Honor, that Ms. Brewer's reaction was an acquiescence, then this would be a bumper case. But the district court didn't find that. It found the opposite. It found that she understood it as a question that was voluntary, that she had, that her will was not overborne. The district court.
But then when you say the district court did not find this as a case of acquiescence, I think that's some of our point. There's a distinction between the voluntary consent and acquiescence, and you need to find if there was legal error as to her not having a consideration that it's one or the other.
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, I would say that the fact that the district court found it to be a scenario in which Ms. Brewer understood this to be a question that she had, that she was not being ordered to obey, and as a matter of her own volition, agreed to accommodate that request. Right. That takes this out of bumper.
Does it? Because I know that under Schneckloff, there doesn't have to be, the officers don't have to inform the homeowner that she has a right to exclude them, right?
Right.
But if the homeowner believes that the officer is making a claim of lawful authority, then you don't need any overbearing. You don't need any sort of force or threats or, you know, diminished education on the part of the homeowner. Somebody makes a claim of lawful authority, then it seems to me that as a factual matter, there's a different set of findings that one would make to nonetheless, the homeowner acquiesce. Like there's an Eighth Circuit case where it's like, you don't need no warrant. You come on in. I got nothing to hide. You know, in that kind of situation, the notion of acquiescence is to the side. I don't see findings here, though, where Ms. Brewer is making any kind of sort of supervening consent. You may have authority. You don't need authority with me. You know, nothing like that.
So, again, Your Honor, I think the key is that the finding was that she viewed it as something that she had the option to either agree to. That the judge, I think the word the judge used is that she.
Where do you find this option that she viewed it as an option?
So I would say that on JA 175, the judge said that the judge made a finding that she viewed it as a plea. I mean, a plea is something I feel like by definition that someone can either accept or decline. If someone's asserting their authority, I don't think that could properly be described as a plea.
Well, if you say, come on, let's not make this difficult. You know, I have an arrest warrant. The arrestee is standing in front of me. I'm saying, can we make this easy for both of us? You know, I have a job to do. I appreciate, you know.
And I think the key here.
Making consideration, just to piggyback off that it always has to be, you know, your will is overborne or there's a strong urging or coercion or something bad, you know, beating you over the head with it, as opposed to befriending you and, you know, using your niceties to get to what you really want to.
And so I think that the will being overborne as a term of art, Your Honor, would apply to both scenarios. The question is whether the person viewed it as a volitionary and voluntary consent. But I also want to emphasize here, Your Honor, we're not arguing that certainly bumper would preclude us from arguing that in any case where someone referenced a warrant, that there could not be a finding that led to an acquiescence. But that isn't what the court found here. The court made factual findings that were not clearly erroneous, as long as it was a permissible view of the evidence based on what Ms. Brewer did.
Absolutely. I appreciate that correct statement of the legal standard. But there's no finding. The district court is sort of careful to point out that in the court's view, that Ms. Brewer appreciated the distinction between a search warrant and an arrest warrant, and that Officer Creamer made clear to her that these were arrest warrants. And so I think the district court thought that was important because she thinks there's no false. She thinks it's important to distinguish bumper, that here there's no false claim of authority. But The district court, as far as I can tell, did not make any finding that Ms. Brewer knew or thought or understood that an arrest warrant does not empower police to search inside a third person's home for the arrestee. And if she doesn't know that, then even accurate reference to a search warrant could easily have been understood by Ms. Brewer as a claim of lawful authority. It seems like that's the strongest, most obvious understanding of his proffering an arrest warrant, saying, just let me look around. I have to go back to PG County. And unless she understands that she has any choice in the matter.
So, and again,
this woman standing there in her nightgown at 6-something a.m. with 7 armed officers around her.
Not to go around in circles, and I want to get to the substance of what Your Honor asked, but
focus on that. You don't see a finding by the district court that Ms. Brewer understood that the warrant that Officer Creamer had, the warrants that he had, did not authorize him to cruise through just to look and see if the named suspects are there.
I agree the district court didn't make a finding.
Made no finding.
In those terms, Your Honor, but if I could finish.
In any terms?
Well, I believe that that's implicit in the district court's finding that she viewed it as a plea. If she had understood him to be asserting that he had authority to do it, whether she gave her permission or not, that would be inconsistent with the district court's finding that it was a request and a plea. And so certainly the fact that the district court made those findings, I think implicitly would have rejected that interpretation. And again, the question here isn't whether anyone could have interpreted it the way Your Honor presupposes. It's whether the district court clearly erred by finding that in this case, under these circumstances, Ms. Brewer interpreted it that way. And our position is that the court didn't clearly err by making that finding. And we think that's supported by all of the factors that, you know, we outlined in our brief and have outlined here. I noticed.
Mr. Kahle, I have a factual question. Is there anything in the record that indicates why Ms. Brewer didn't testify here?
I am not aware of that, Your Honor. I do see I am over time. If there are no further questions, we would otherwise rely on our brief in particular with respect to the fact that we strongly believe that any claims involving the entryway were waived and the other issues that have previously been addressed. And we'd ask this court to affirm the district court's judgment. Thank you, Your Honor.
Is there any reserve time?
There were 2 minutes reserved and none remaining.
All right. Well, we used up all your time on direct questioning, but you may use your 2 minutes for rebuttal if you'd like.
Just very quickly, I want to clarify, we're talking about, I think there was a attempt to distinguish between entry and search, but I want to just make clear that those factors at entry, all of those factors are still relevant for determining the totality of the circumstances for purposes of the search. The time of day, the number of officers, the manner in which they entered, the manner in which they refused to answer her questions, the insistence, all of that is relevant to create that atmosphere that essentially, you know, those stealthy encroachments, as Snecklof put it, backed her into a wall, you know, and then when you had the seven officers, you know, flanking her and impeding her movement, that's all relevant for purposes of determining whether or not she gave unequivocal specific consent. And that is the standard. And here we are, you know, trying to figure out what's in her head and how she took the word need or warrants. There's a simple way to fix this. And it's the government asking her, any one of those 7 law enforcement officers simply asking her, do I have your consent to search your apartment? And that would have solved this. And instead they didn't.
What's the relief?
The relief is we're asking the court to vacate Mr. Glover's conviction and reverse the denial of his motion to suppress.
And then I thought his police said and send it back to the district court for further proceedings, which would refer to what?
Well, we're asking for the court to vacate his conviction. Obviously, without a gun, we have no conviction here.
So that's what there's no retrial or anything.
No,
I just was wondering what the further proceedings.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Is about.
No retrial. Yes.
OK.
And then just one other thing on again, the three gestures that the government refers to and the district court refers to, none of those rise to the level of unequivocal specific consent. I mean, it's a little bit ridiculous to think that waving your hand or flicking on a light could even rise to that level after the law enforcement officer, after Officer Creamer has stated, I've got warrants, I need to search your home. And we cite a treatise, a quote on page 29 of our reply that is very applicable here. Because of the officer's claim of authority to search, Ms. Brewer's conduct in opening the premises was no more indicative of voluntary consent than acquiescence to the police claim of authority, accompanied by an effort to minimize the damage to the premises and degree of privacy intrusion. That's exactly applicable here. There's nothing in the record, there's no finding, and it's unreasonable and clear error to think that there's that this would rise, that Ms. Brewer's reaction, those three gestures would rise to unequivocal and specific consent under.
Is there something short of vacating? In other words, there's been a lot of talk about the voluntary consent versus mere acquiescence. That would seem to be a legal error. So is there something?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Is there something short of vacating the conviction? Because there was a lot of discussion about mere acquiescence versus voluntary consent and further findings by the district court.
Yeah, I mean, Your Honor, something
I'm
short.
I'm not asking you to argue against yourself because you want a full conviction vacated, but
right.
I'm asking, we've spent a lot of time about whether the factual findings were sufficient to make
right.
that distinction. And right. so do you see a potential remand if it's short of vacating the conviction?
Well, we're asking for a vacating.
I mean, I know what you're asking
using,
for, but
yeah.
I'm just saying, is there something short of that?
I mean,
as an option.
I don't think so. But given the legal errors of this that we are arguing, we're asking for vacatur.
Because you think that if we find that there is a legal error, that still leads to vacating?
Yes, Your Honor. Absolutely. I mean, we're asking this court to vacate because there's no basis for this conviction. And so, you know, the district court committed these legal errors, and as a result, the fruits of the search, the search was unlawful. The fruits need to be suppressed, and there's just simply no basis for this conviction. So we're asking for a vacation.
Okay.
Thank you. The case is submitted.